Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected and honored ulama ikram, respected elders and respected brothers in Islam, this month of December and then the month of January is generally earmarked for a month of travel and holidays. And these travels and holidays has been well documented in the Quran Sharif and also in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a matter of fact, many of the muhaddithin have brought about and included chapters of Babu Adabi Safar in the compilations of Ahadith, despite the fact that this is a season of shamelessness, immodesty and everything else together with that. What I propose to do is speak about the most sublime travels that we found in the Quran and in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then to try and understand, look at how we travel, why we travel, and how we can bring it more in line with the travels that Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about. At the outset, when we look at this word travel in terms of Arabic, it is known as safar. And safar in Arabic actually means to uncover. And what gets uncovered? Not that we need to uncover our bodies and go out on the beaches and get a suntan, but what uncovers is our real and true nature, our real and true personalities and akhlaq and character. In the general, we may live with a very veneered characteristic. Our ills, the bad qualities within us can be very well disguised throughout our lives whilst we are at home. But no sooner do we embark on a journey, there is discomfort, probably a delay in our flight, change in our routines, and in short, we are out of our comfort zone. And then it shows the worst of us. And that is why safar has been called safar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when somebody proposed to give some testimonial about a person, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the person three questions. Number one, did you live with this man? When we live with someone for a long period of time, a person cannot forever veneer and cover his ills. It comes out somewhere. Number two, did you deal with this person? In dealing with people, there are times when a deal goes sour, and then we see the worst of people. And number three, did you travel with this person? And that is from the wisdom of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in traveling, there's going to be the discomfort, and sometimes people show their worst out. That is why we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-safaru qita'atun min al-adab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described it as a part of a punishment because of all the difficulties that a person goes through. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further advised that when a person has fulfilled whatever objective one has at the destination, then one should return to one's family, because it may create discomfort in so far as eating, drinking and sleeping is concerned. So that is the one aspect of journey and travel. The second aspect is when we look into the Quran, we will find that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about the travel of many of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah Ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam's own words, Inni muhajirun ila rabbi, inni zahibun ila rabbi. When we open the books of ahadith, we will find the Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam's travel from the country of Iraq. He traveled right up to Ash-Sham, and then from Sham, the Levant, from Al-Aqsa, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam traveled up to Hijaz, that is the Haram, and then from there back to Al-Aqsa, and then from there Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam had traveled to the majority of the eastern part of the world, and all for the sake of Allah, inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that well documented. Just another example, the travel of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is also documented in the Quran, that when Musa alayhi salatu wassalam had to leave Misr, he had to leave Egypt, his travel to Madian, walamma tawajjaha tilqa'a Madian, Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. He had come into Madian, he lived there for several years, he's traveled back to Misr, and then in search of knowledge, he's traveled looking for Sayyidina, what we will term as Khadir, but we generally know it as Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam. That travel also is well documented in the Quran Sharif. And then Allah Ta'ala also speaks about the travel of Dhulqarnain. And that travel, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبَا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبَا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبَا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. Allah Ta'ala shows that his travel was relentless. He traveled till he reached the setting of the sun. He traveled till he reached the place where the sun rises. He traveled between two mountains, and of course that culminated then with the Sadd, that barrier that he had built for Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And again, that travel was a noble travel. In other words, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and for the elevation of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming particularly to the travel of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the truth is that our lives can be sacrificed for our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the scholars and the ulama that documented the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they documented the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such minute detail. They speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's travel. Two travels, one in the very early life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was in the care of his uncle Abu Talib. Either he was 12 or 13 years old. Abu Talib was undertaking a travel journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being in his care, attached to his uncle, very reluctant, the uncle is leaving. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saddened because of the separation. Abu Talib is also saddened. He had not intended to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the harshness of the journey. A last minute decision, he decides to take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him on the journey. They come to a place called Busra. Today Busra is on the border of Syria and Jordan. When he comes to Busra, this caravan comes to Busra, a monk by the name of Bahira calls them and he asks them, who is the person amongst you that had never been with you? And they pointed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this Bahira, he begins to explain to them that this young boy is going to be the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that young age, there is a confirmation from an authority of the kitabs of the past that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be the Nabi of Allah ta'ala. When they inquired, what is it that gives you that certitude that he is going to be the Nabi of Allah? He said, as your caravan had come towards Busra, I had noticed that every rock, every boulder, every tree had bowed down in sajda towards him. And that is a clear sign that he is going to be the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And it was Bahira then that asked Abu Talib to return Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah Mukarramah, back to Al-Hijaz, and not to continue with the journey, because if the Christian Romans come to know that he is in their midst, the possibility of assassination is very great. And as a matter of fact, the incident continues that the Romans had already sent out a group of people in search of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was one travel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either when he was 12 or 13 years old. The second travel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is documented when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 25. And then he was not married to her, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was a very successful business person, had offered Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a business proposition. And at that time he was still under the care of Abu Talib. And because the condition in Abu Talib's home was difficult, there was financial constraint, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken it upon himself to accept the proposition, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had undertaken the journey with the goods of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She sent her slave Maysara with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and once again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches this place Busra. And at this time, not Bahira, but another monk by the name of Nastura, he detects Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you had sat under this tree, and before you, no other being had sat under this tree but Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam. And that is indicative that you are the Rasul of Allah. In one narration, he asked Maysara about a red thread that was across the eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maysara responded that that thread never left the eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, huwa, wa huwa Rasulullah. In other words, he is most certainly the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued with his trade adventure, and then he returned to Makkah Mukarramah profiteering and in abundance. And hence it was then that Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had proposed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for marriage. So that was two trade expeditions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone into. The next journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or travel that has been discussed that is very famous, was when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam invited the Quraysh towards Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala, and the Quraysh did not accept. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then undertook the journey towards Ta'if. And this journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the terminology of the ulama, has been subheaded as a journey of da'wat and tabligh. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam undertook this travel particularly to invite the people of Ta'if towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we know the incident that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had gone to Ta'if, they stoned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of that had taken place. Allah ta'ala had sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with the angels of the mountains, in charge of the mountains, that if you say so, Allah ta'ala will command, and the two mountains on the both sides of Ta'if will come together and destroy the people of Ta'if. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if they do not accept, then probably their offspring, their people will accept, their children will accept. And in that way, that travel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is documented. And then the travel of the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is also very well known to us. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life in Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had undertaken 27 journeys in expeditions in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly in jihad fi sabilillah. And that has also been documented in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last of which was the Tabuk expedition. Now, when we look around the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we look around the lives of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam, we will find that travel was an act of nobility. Travel was particularly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a matter of fact, if we continue, we will find that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sahaba also continued their journeys insofar as jihad is concerned. One particular aspect where the Sahaba had begun another form of journey was in pursuit of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had traveled a journey of 1 month to acquire one hadith from one sahabi that had heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. And then we find that the muhaddithin had continued this practice of going out in search of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A person by the name of Nawfal, he speaks about after the demise of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi was that personality that held a very high position in so far as hadith was concerned. After his demise, Nawfal had seen him in a dream, and he asked him, how did Allah ta'ala deal with you? And he said, Allah had forgiven me, besides all the other accomplishments, Allah had forgiven me because of the journeys that I had undertaken in search of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, for example, had undertaken the journey of Hajj at the age of 16. Thereafter, from the age of 16, he remained in Makkah for 2 years. He went to Medina Munawwara at the age of 18, and thereafter he pursued searching for the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the extent that it has been documented in his biography that for a period of 40 years, he had nothing to eat but sometimes the leaves and the grass that was available to him. So they went out in pursuit of the knowledge of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Coming more particularly to these months, the months of December and January that we normally would earmark for travel, how are we supposed to behave in these times? The travel of trade obviously will be permissible, but going out on leisure travels will also be regarded as permissible. However, there are certain aspects that we need to be careful and we need to be very cautious about. Number one is the haya of a believer, and that is our modesty, our bashfulness. In the hadith that is famous, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that there are 70 odd branches of iman. In other words, there are different aspects that contribute to the iman of a believer. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says the highest form of it is the kalima la ilaha illallah, and the lowest is that a person removes an obstacle that becomes an impediment in the pathway of someone. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says wal haya'u shu'batun min al iman, that modesty is a part of iman. Now when we speak about modesty, one is obviously insofar as our dress is concerned. Number two is the places we visit. It should not be places of vice. We find in that last journey of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the expedition of Tabuk, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had gone past the remains of the people of Thamud. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam urged the Sahaba to move hastily away from there, not to even take from the waters of that area. Some Sahaba had already drawn the waters from the well, and they had already mixed their wheat or their barley and made their dough. And when they had informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam about it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, get rid of that dough, because this is the place where the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had descended. So places of vice is undoubtedly places in which the adab of Allah ta'ala comes. In the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, and we all know that he was known as Umar al-Thani, the second Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a few people were arrested because of drinking alcohol. One person amongst them that had not taken the alcohol, but he was fasting. Fasting is meritorious. That person was engaged in an ibadat of Allah ta'ala, but he was also lashed because he had been in the company of these individuals. So it stems out from there that we should abstain and keep away from places of vice even when we are on travel. So number one is our haya, our modesty should be maintained at all times, ours, that of our children, our family members. Keep away from places of vice. And the next aspect is keep away from all those things that are haram, all those things that are prohibited in the Sharia. The next aspect is insofar as fulfilling our fara'is, and most importantly our salat. We should try and be timeous insofar as our salat is concerned. If possible, in the masjid or otherwise, with jama'at, with the groups that we are in, we should try and fulfill our salat. It has been narrated about a tabi'i masruq, that whether he was on journey or whether he was at home, he would engage himself so much in nawafil salat that he will tire himself, and sometimes the opportunity of sleep will come to him whilst he was in his sajda. So these were those pious personalities that will go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether they were at home or whether they were on journey, there was absolutely no difference insofar as the ibadat was concerned. They continued the ibadat as it was, like it was at home. Another important aspect will be that wherever we are, we should try and meet the pious ulama and take their du'as, try and remain in the company of the pious. And of course, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, in enumerating and enlisting some of the highlights and some of the benefits of traveling, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, the one very good benefit of traveling is that it begins to cultivate the akhlaq of an individual. That like we spoke about, that because a person is no more in one's comfort zone, so a person goes through a bit of difficulties, it is then that a person begins to work on one's akhlaq and one's character. But when we go out, we will find in other areas, other regions, we will find other communities far exceeding us in certain characteristics. Like for example, sometimes it may be hospitality. So it doesn't mean when we come back, we only speak about them. But we try and inculcate that and bring it into our lives also, so that we cultivate ourselves insofar as those good qualities are concerned. The other aspect that he spoke about is that travel and journey creates a growth insofar as our knowledge is concerned. Like in the hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also spoken about a person should not venture out but to three masajid. One is, of course, the Baytullah. One is to Masjidul Aqsa, and the third is to Masjidul Nabawi, that is my masjid, the Nad Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So going out into these areas, we will find that there are many great personalities that we can sit in their company and we can learn from them, and it only creates growth insofar as our deen is concerned, and we will be able to draw from these individuals. So brothers and friends, this is the time of the year when people are traveling. Of course, there are those that will be celebrating and festivity. That is not for a mu'min, that is not for a believer. At all times we should maintain our Islamic identity. At all times we should remember that we are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At all times we should remember that we have an obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether we are at home, whether we are on journey, whilst we are traveling, we try to fulfill the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and above all, remember that we need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.